Tonight, we're having a little bit of a more grown-up sermon tonight, and so at this time, everybody 12 and under is free to go to the multipurpose room with Allison and my wife, and at this time, we got some lessons for you there. So if you please go right now, Allison and Nastya are right there back at the back door. If you have children that are 13, 14, 15 years old, I'll give you the opportunity here in a second if you want to determine if you want to keep them here during this message as well. We're going to, if you want to hold with, and we're going to sing number 605 for our invitation tonight, number 605. We do have an opportunity this day, but every Sunday, if you're a Christian, we celebrate the death and the burial, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. There isn't just one day of the year, but every Sunday is the reason why we come together. And this message corresponds with the fact that if you do not have Christ, you are lost. But sin is prevalent in this world. If you haven't figured that out, listen up. We're going to be talking about that. I've titled my message, Excellence or Obedience. Excellence or Obedience. 581,022,295. 581,022,722. 581,023,220. 581,023,647. These numbers represent, and they do not stop, the number of searches for pornography since the start of only 2015. Excellence or obedience, overcoming pornography and living a life of sexual purity. That's our message, my message for this evening. I think it's a very needed message within the church, a message that I pray that we each have our ears open and really desire to live pure for our God. So if you, like I said, if you want your 13, 14, and 15-year-old to stay, I pray that you do, because the majority of people who start their addiction to pornography started at the ages of 12 and 13, sometimes as young as 8 or 9. These are very early ages, but these are obvious ages when a change is happening in the life of a young child. And so curiosity comes up. Things about them come up. And this is one of the reasons why people start at such a early age. 17% of girls, however, are also addicted to pornography. And so it's not just a male problem, though the majority is male. 17% is still a large enough number for all of us to understand this important lesson. One in three preachers, denominational within Christendom, one in three have an addiction to pornography. 51% say internet pornography is a possible temptation. 64% of Christian men And 15% of Christian women say they have viewed porn at least once a month. And maybe some in this very place today. But I'll tell you, statistics have never, ever saved a person. They're used to detail causes and problems, but they never offer solutions. That's not what a statistic does. It is to put a number in front of you of the item that you're discussing. But these are incredible numbers. And that's why you can see that there's a problem in America and in this world today, that pornography has got its deadly grips on not only people in this world, but people in the church as well. And I want to help free you from that addiction if it grips you today, or to help free you from ever getting started. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. That's where our text is, Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's be standing as we read from God's Word this evening. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not learned Christ in this way. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father God, as we take on the serious subject of pornography, Lord God, I pray that each and every one of us here today want a desire to live a life of purity for you. Lord God, we ask and we thank you so much for your word that can free us from sin, free us from temptation. But Lord God, I pray that you give me wisdom tonight, all of us, that you open our hearts to your word. And so, Lord God, that we might know this subject and flee from these things and embrace your loving kindness. Lord God, I just want to pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Today, I wish to encourage, or tonight, I wish to encourage obedience to Christ rather than mere excellence in your Christianity. I wish to encourage you to encourage obedience rather than excellence in your Christianity to this ever-growing problem that's even in the church today. What do I mean by excellence or obedience? Are they not the same thing? Do they not touch upon the same, get the same conclusion by excellence or obedience? I'm going to read a passage, couple of small pages to you in a book, it's titled Every Man's Battle, Every Man's Battle. He says, what's your aim in life, excellence or obedience? What's the difference? To aim for obedience is to aim for perfection, not for excellence, which is really something else. Wait a minute, you reply. I thought excellence and perfection were the same thing. Sometimes they appear to be, but mere excellence allows room for a mixture. In most arenas, excellence is not a fixed standard at all. It's a mixed standard. Let us show you what we mean. American business are in the search of excellence. They could be in search of perfection, of course. Perfect products, perfect service. But perfection is too costly and eats into profits. Rather than be perfect, businesses know it's enough to seem perfect to their customers. By stopping short of perfection, they find a profitable balance between quality and costs. To find this balance, they often look to their peers to discover the best practices of their industry. How far can we go and still seem perfect? By how far can we stop short? Businesses find it profitable to stop short at the middle ground of excellence because perfection costs too much. But is it profitable for Christians to stop short at the middle ground of excellence where costs are low, balanced somewhere between paganism and obedience? Not at all. While in business, it's profitable to seem perfect. In the spiritual realm, it's merely comfortable to seem perfect. It is never profitable. Clearly, excellence isn't the same as obedience or perfection. The search for excellence leaves us overwhelmingly vulnerable to snare after snare, since it allows room for mixture. The search for obedience or perfection does not. Excellence is a mixed standard, while obedience is a fixed standard. We want to shoot for this fixed standard. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, but says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy as I am holy." God has set that standard for us to go after. Be holy as I am holy. It is very fixed and is not negotiable. That is what a Christian's aim and desire should be, to be holy as he is holy. Contrast this verse to a couple, Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, and Leviticus 11, chapter 20, verse 26, in which he is Peter's referring back to these two verses in Leviticus 11, 44 and 20, 26. We're not going to read them, but you're more than welcome to, in which God is reminding them of his holiness, and that it was because of him that they were set apart from the world that was around them. And so that's why God said, be holy, not to be like the world. We just read about that in our text today. This Gentile world, the Gentile world at this time, was deep and seeped into sexual immorality. If you look through all of the New Testament books, more than two-thirds of them have something in there that says, stay away from sexual immorality. And so it was a topic that was very much in your face even during their time. He says, but you did not learn Christ in this way. Rather, you are greater, you are more than what this world is. We're Christians set apart. So why is obedience so important in this subject of sexual purity? And getting away from pornography. We're going to talk about three things today. First of all, we're going to talk about excellence or obedience in youth and in the single life. See, there's a lot of struggles and problems in this world that relate to this. It's very perfect. So many will say, even in the church today, many will say, young boys, girls, they're experiencing things. There's things that are going on in their bodies. So looking at pornography is only natural because they're curious. And so why would you want to stem back that curiosity? Let them be children. Let them be curious. Well, I'll tell you today why. You do not want your children to be curious. How many of you, well, there was a survey, doing this again, and there was a survey done of convicted sex offenders and pedophiles. How many of you think, can guess the percentage of sexual predators and pedophiles, what's the percentage of them that started with pornography? Anybody? 100%. How many? 100%. Absolutely. 100% started with pornography. Every single one that was in their young life, 75% of them, in fact, started when they were just 10 or 11 years old. Or their curiosity, oh boy, it sure went crazy, didn't it? Some people will say, oh, well, I used to look at pornography. I didn't become a sexual predator. I didn't become a pedophile. So it's all right. It's not going to happen to the majority. Not a single person can tell me. Not a single person can tell me today that looking at pornography did not change you. Did not change how you look at view women. Did not change how you look at sex. I got to tell you, pornography messed you up. Jason, you must never have had that problem. I unfortunately did. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not ignorant to this problem. I very much know and understand what is going on with pornography and how it changes you. For pornography to be harmless, understand this. For pornography to be harmless, the people who are depicted in its images would have to be unreal. However, the women, the men violated in pornography are actual human beings. Beyond the glossy pages, the naked and used women are absolutely real. They are real. Don't ever let anybody say that they're not, because they are. They're absolutely real. And what happens is, pornography makes women seem like property. It gets something in your mind that makes you think that they are there to meet your needs, however you desire for them to meet your needs. And that's what's the problem with a lot of these sexual predators and pedophiles, is because they have changed their mind to make them think that I own these people. I tell you, I own this. I love this thing. Unfortunately, I love it too much sometimes. But I love this thing. It does everything I need that I don't need a big old computer for. But you know what? I can do whatever I want with this. It is mine. But it's not a human being. A human being is not your property. This is my property. I can toss it. I can give it to somebody. I can run it over. I can do whatever I want with it. A human being is not your property. Unfortunately, too many times people look at pornography and they make it seem like they are mine now. There is not a person today that can say that pornography has not changed the way they look at sex, women, and men. Not a person. Look with me in 2 Timothy. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. It says very plainly, verse 22 says, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What does it mean to flee? What does it mean to go away, to run, to get out of the way? What does that mean? It means leave. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm a big man, I can handle it. It's okay. I can watch these movies. I can watch these movies with these people in front of me having these adult situations, and it's not going to affect me because I'm mature. All these swear words in this movie, I didn't even know they were there. That's the problem. We didn't flee. We didn't go away. We didn't hear this. Oh, I don't want anything to do with that. And that's what's happening. He says, flee from these youthful lusts. He says here, you're to pursue other things. Remember the story. Very, very excellent illustration. I can't get a better illustration. Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Great illustration, wouldn't you think? Joseph and Potiphar's wife. What happens when Potiphar's wife goes to Joseph and says, "Lie with me"? I can't. Look, I'm your servant. I'll do whatever you want, but I'm not going to do that. What can I do for you today? She just stated what she wanted. Pornography states what it wants. It wants your mind. It wants your soul. It wants everything about you. I can handle a little bit. You can't. You can't handle a little bit. Joseph says, no way. What did he do? He fled from that situation. He got out. He didn't want any part of what was being offered. That is fleeing. We are to pursue peace. We're to pursue righteousness. Those are the things we're to be drawn to, run to. That's what God wants for us, His people. Youth, single, I'm telling you, do you want excellence or do you want obedience in your youth and your singleness? Because I'll tell you, one is a mixed standard. One only goes so far. One is a fixed standard. God wants that fixed standard. How are you to do that? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, 23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." So if he says, keep your hearts, because everything of life comes from it, why do you want to put just anything in it? Why do you want to fill the mind with just anything? But he says, guard your heart. Keep it. It's yours. Given to you as a gift. You're to guard it, to keep that heart, because out of it springs all life. How are you to guard your heart? I'll tell you, I really appreciate I've always appreciated, but the last few weeks of our Thursday nights have been really, really excellent. And Wayne started getting a little bit into this topic a little bit. Psalm 119, verses 9 and 10. 119, verses 9 and 10 says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. And with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." How are you going to cleanse your way? Take heed according to His word. Get into His word. I tell you, do it now. It gets harder to want to do it later. The longer you are a Christian and the longer you ignore God's word, it doesn't get easier as you get, "Oh, I'm going to get more mature. No, do it now. Set on your mind that you're going to take care of business now. Because if you do it now, I'll tell you what, it'll make it a whole lot easier to guard your heart against the sexual immorality and impurity and pornography in this world. Determine now that you're going to remain pure, not just for your sake, but remember, it is for the holiness of God that we are trying to run after. See, the thing is, you're the son or daughter of a king. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
You're the son or daughter of a king. You're made for so much greater. Look with me. I want you to, I love this verse. Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at this verse together. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6.
He says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. You are the son or daughter of a king. Why would you give yourself to that which is unholy? Giving it to the dogs, because they are just going to trample it. They're going to trample it underfoot. They're going to make you dirt. They're going to chew you up. And they're going to spit you out. And you're not going to come out the other side the same. You're not. Do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not give your lives to the dogs of this world. Pornography is a dog. Yeah, chew you up, spit you out. It's not going to be pretty what spits out. Well, that goes for singles also. Goes for singles also, I'm telling you. Sometimes it's not easy being single. Especially in this world. They teach you as a single person, you're unhinged. You have to do whatever you want. The world's your oyster. Go out, sow your wild oats, have a few girlfriends and live with a few people and everything else before you decide to settle down. I'm telling you, it's just a myth that it's better. I love being married. I absolutely love it. But I was single for a long time. So you're probably saying, Jason, well, you're married. Yeah, what are you to talk about this subject of being single? You're married now. You have no problems anymore when it comes to sex and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, you have no those problems. I wish I were true, not as myself, but of many who are married. We're going to talk second of all about excellence or obedience of the marriage bed. Let's talk about the reality of pornography in marriage. Because there are so many people who will say, pornography will increase your love life. I remember in the 80s. In the 80s, all those Cosmos and everything else. I'll tell you, if you're looking at Cosmo, rip it up, tear it out, burn it. It's trash. It'll do you no good whatsoever. I remember it was Cosmos and all these in the 80s saying adultery, having an affair, will help your marriage. I remember it. How many of you remember that? Oh, yeah, I remember all that garbage in the 80s. And I was just a kid. And I remember all those articles written in the 90s. How to get over your divorce. They come to find out it was a myth. Let's talk about this myth of pornography in the bedroom, marriage room. The Barna group, Barna is, they go out and they're like Gallup polls and stuff like this, but he usually concentrates on faith and religion in America. And so the Barna group concluded in their sex and pornography survey, Barna also found that figures for a nationally representative sample show that sexual sin is something with which Americans from all backgrounds struggle. It found that the same percentage of men in mainstream America commit adultery on their spouses, 35%, with 17% of women engaging in extramarital affairs themselves. Also discovered in the recent survey is that 75% of men who admitted to cheating on their wives also confessed that they had more than one affair, with 31% of them saying that they had more than five. This infidelity was found to have common roots. The rate of extramarital affairs appears to have a correlation to frequency of viewing pornography. A married person who views porn several times a month is ripe to have an affair. Specifically, another part of the survey showed that 40% of married men watch porn at least several times a month, which compares to 35% of married men having affairs. Similarly, 22% of married women view porn at least several times a month, and 17% of married women have affairs. The survey also shows that twice as many married men have affairs as married women, which corresponds to twice as many married men watching porn as married women. Again, statistics do not say, they don't convince anyone of sin. And those that are entangled in the grips of pornography. Well, let's look at the Word of God. I hope the Word of God will convince you today. If you're married and you're looking at pornography, that you will stop today. Today. And I hope the Word of God can convince you of that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. I love that. Marriage is always honorable among all. It is honorable. And the bed undefiled makes it even more honorable. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Many will conclude that pornography is a great way to stay faithful to their wives. Many have convinced themselves of that. It is a great way to stay faithful. And I'm not out looking at other people. Nah, I'm looking at my screen. What harm can that be? So don't worry. Don't worry, wife of mine. I'm not out there looking at everybody else. Just what's in front of me. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. Remember, marriage is honorable. The undefiled marriage bed, very honorable. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, 28 says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery." Ah, Jesus, that's easy. I'm just looking at pornography. I'm not out having adultery. I'm not out having sex with every woman out there while I am married over here. Oh, you're not finished. Okay, Jesus, okay. "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." That's where it hurts. That's where things change. See, the problem has become, as I said before, that we look at these images as not being real. And so they're not real women. They're not real situations, but they are real women. They are real situations. These are real people put into degrading situations, abusive situations, drug-filled situations, STD-filled situations. Girls promised a better life and more sexual freedom. All they do is they find their lives riddled with guilt, with drugs, no way out. This is what happened. Girls are tempted, pushed over into line of jobs. They find it very hard to get out. I'll tell you today, I read some sad stories of women who have tried to get out, couldn't, or didn't want to, because it was the only way to keep their drug habit going. See, we've invited these women into our business. You wouldn't go on a street corner and pay a woman, "Hey, would you come with me you're old with WWW with her?" It's the difference. They're both still real. And they're both going to harm your marriage. They're going to destroy your marriage. They're competing. Even images are competing for the affection and love of your spouse. "Well, Jason, I'm in a loveless marriage. My spouse, they just ignore me. They just ignore me. What else am I supposed to do? It was great once, now it's not so great. What else am I supposed to do?" If this is true, then your spouse has already stated two very important key points as to why marriage exists in the first place. See, sex is ordained by God in its true and natural setting of marriage. Remember, let the marriage bed be undefiled, and marriage is honorable. But you and your spouse, you didn't realize you entered into an agreement, I'll bet. You may have not realized you entered into an agreement. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians in chapter 7. Starting verse 1. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, there's another book mentioned sexual immorality. It was a problem then, still a problem today. Let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her. Husbands, if you are not rendering to your wife the affection due her, you are in violation of the agreement that you made before God in getting married. Going on. And likewise also the wife to her husband. Wife, same deal. If you are ignoring your husband's affection, are not giving your husband affection, then you are in violation of the marriage agreement that you made before God. And he goes on, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. And do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So you've entered into this marriage agreement, and I'll tell you what, if you are not giving to your husband or wife the affection due them, you are in violation of this, of what God has ordained as pure and holy. I didn't say it. God said it. You don't like it, take it up with him. I'm telling you, if you're married, you've got to give each other what is due each other. Now I understand, there are extenuating circumstances. Some wives have cancer, people, you know, there's medical problems, things like that. So that's okay then, Jason, right? You know, there's a problem and we can't do that stuff. So pornography's all right then, right? I'll tell you this right now. Listen closely. God still expects purity from you. I'll say it again. God still expects purity from you. Your salvation is not put on the shoulders of your spouse. It's put on your shoulders. So God still expects that purity from you. Yes, God still does not want you to look at that stuff. Talk to your wife. Talk to the person that is closest to you. Figure something out. Understand, you are holy. You are set apart. You're consecrated and sanctified, redeemed, and a redeemed person of God. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 3. Ephesians 5 verse 3 says, but among you there must not be even a hint, not even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. You're a holy person to God. You are consecrated, set apart. You are something in this world to God. He set you apart. So you mean something to someone. Maybe you feel alone, and that's why you do looking into pornography. God's with you. God is with you. Too many people want to mix their own standards with God's standards, but see, God's standards are always going to be much greater than our own. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5:28. Even improperly thinking about a woman is adultery. It's a higher standard. We are put to a higher standard. I'm okay with that. As we all should be okay with that. Knowing that we have a place in heaven. We have a name written in the Lamb's book of life. We are free from the second death. We have so much going for us. There should be more put upon us. And I'll tell you this. If you're looking to get married, coming up into marriage and this kind of stuff, if you're looking to get married, you should have a conversation. You should, premarital counseling is a great deal, I'll tell you that. But maybe if you're not going to have premarital counseling, I'll tell you what, maybe you ought to write out at least 20 questions that you want to know specifically, deeper than what time to get up in the morning. You should have a question on there. What do you think of sex in the marriage? You should have that question. Fold it in half, and you give each of you that paper. You fill it out, and you give it to the other one. A question like that is very important. Because if you're not compatible there, I'm telling you what, it's not going to change once you get married. Number three, excellence or obedience in the heart, mind, and body. The true problem of pornography lies within our heart, of course. The true solution to pornography lies in obedience to Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 7, verse 20 through 23. 7, 20 through 23 says, "What comes out of a man, that is what defiles a man. For from within, out of our heart of out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lawlessness, an evil eye, so forth. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." That's where they come from. So if the heart is wicked, that's what's going to come out is wickedness. If you filled your heart with wickedness, guess what? There's no amount of holiness that is going to overcome that wickedness. You have to fill the heart with holiness. Remember, pursue peace and righteousness. That's what you're supposed to pursue. That's what you're supposed to fill. We're supposed to fill our hearts with. Mark 11, 33-35. Talking about a lamp. Nobody puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand that those who may come and see the light. And the lamp of the body is, therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. And so what you're looking at, what you're viewing, what you're putting into that eye is, I'm telling you, is going to be the defining point between light and darkness. Again, I didn't say it, he did. And so that's why you have to think and really, really look if what you're doing is pursuing peace and righteousness. From the perspective that you are a child of God, you are someone greater than your urges. You are. Oh, well, I used to have this, people tell me this all the time. Oh, you never control yourself. You can never control. If these things are just in front of you, you might as well just embrace it. You can't control who you're going to marry. If it's going to happen, it's just going to happen. You know, very fatalist, you know. You can't, Jason, you have too many high standards. Nobody's going to live up to those standards. And so you ought to just drop your standards. That's pretty much what they're saying. You ought to just drop your standards, and then you'll find somebody. Oh, that's true. You drop all standards, you'll find somebody. But it's not the person that God wants for you. If you have standards, raise them. If you've raised your standards, raise them a little bit more. I tell you, it's necessary that we get over this heart problem and this mind problem that this world is trying to deluge you with, that everything you think is a lie. No, if you're a child of God today, everything about God is true. This world is a lie. And it's going to try to take you down. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, "For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." You've been bought with that price. We have this day that so many people the world over. We were talking, Nastia and I were talking about this earlier, in Ukraine and in Belarus, and I believe in Russia also. This one day a year, doesn't matter if it's an atheist, the drunkard, the adulterer, I mean, everybody around the cities, they have a greeting. He is risen. You are to respond back, "He is risen indeed." So even the drunkard and those who are mired in sin and filth know of this day that Jesus arose from the grave. He was dead. Now he is alive. And he redeemed you when he rose from the dead. If you've accepted him, he's redeemed you. You have been bought with a price. You know, there's a lot of guilt in pornography. In psychology circles, it's called porn guilt. One psychologist wrote, "Guilt about your porn addiction, you're acting out sexually, is the gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving until you're in an emotional gutter and your self-esteem is toast. Guilt, you feel less than. Guilt, you isolate. You forget about your friends. You are sure that they must be better off than you for a myriad of reasons. But most importantly, that they are better off because they aren't trapped in porn prison. They are happy. They have hobbies. They have a life. Your hobby is porn. When you are compulsively using porn, you're afraid. Afraid you'll get caught. Afraid it'll get worse. And you know it will. You try praying and it doesn't work. When you don't get the magical help you're praying for, you get angry about having to pray. Your guilt seems to be torturing you." And this is from a non-Christian psychologist. I'm telling you, porn guilt is huge even in the secular world. People have lots of guilt about viewing pornography. Even more so for someone who knows of Christ and yet is still mired in that pornography. Your guilt is twofold, because you know you should not be doing it. But I'll tell you, in Christ, there is no more guilt. There is a way out of this cycle of guilt. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world." All this stuff is of this world. It's not of the Father. This guilt that you have is of this world. There's even guilt in this world about viewing pornography. But look at this verse to remind ourselves of the struggles presented to so many. "But we're overcome by our own Savior when he was in this world." Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. See, he is inviting you today to boldly approach the throne of grace. Jesus is the help you seek. He is the one that can tear you away from that path to hell that you are down. If you are mired in pornography today, there are no adulterers, there are no fornicators in heaven. If you are mired in pornography, it's going to drag you to hell.
Oh, you're scaring me, Jason.
I hope so. But I hope I'm bringing to you a way out of the guilt of that path to hell. It's through Jesus Christ. He is inviting you today. There are things you must do if you're wanting to get away from this pornography. If you're a Christian, I want you to hear this. If you're in it today, there's a few things you can do. First of all, you need an accountability partner. Your spouse, or if you're single, you need an accountability partner. You need somebody that you can go to and say, hey, I have this problem. I need you to help monitor me away from this problem. Get a porn filter. Make that accountability partner put in the password and never tell you. Get your computers out of the bedroom. Get it out of the bedroom and put it in the common room. Don't just put it in the common room, but turn that screen around where everybody can see that screen. If you got a child today who has a computer in their bedroom, more than likely they're already viewing this stuff. You need to drop it. You need to get it out of that bedroom right now. If they got a smartphone, more than likely, 1 in 5 searches on a smartphone is for pornography. More than likely, they're already viewing it. Get it out of there. I'm trying to appeal to you in good senses here. Get it out of the bedroom. Your kid, I'll tell you, your kid is already hiding his tracks on his computer from you. It is a common problem. Get it out of their bedroom. How many of you have seen the Disney movie Pinocchio? Family-friendly film, Pinocchio. Pinocchio knew it was the right thing for little boys to go to school. On his way there, he met the dastardly scoundrel Lampwick. Lampwick and his friends painted a wonderful picture about this place called Adventure Island. It was just offshore, and Pinocchio thought it would be a great idea to skip school and go there. But what was the problem with Adventure Island? Who can tell me? What happened when a little boy went to Adventure Island? Anybody? I know some of you raised your hands.
I don't remember.
I know, it's a long ago. The little boys turned into donkeys. And they were made to pull coal, carts for the rest of their lives. Some people are naive and foolish like Pinocchio, thinking that a little fun never hurt anybody, despite God's standard for purity. Sometimes we're rebellious like Pinocchio. You know sexual immorality is wrong, but you do it anyways. You love your trips to Adventure Island despite the hidden price you pay at the end of the day. But church, I implore you, if you are caught up or even starting to be caught up in pornography or sexual immorality, then I want you to talk to somebody and end this deadly path that you're going down. I got to tell you real quickly here, because we're almost out of, I'm out of time almost. Parents with teens, if you got If you got an app called Snapchat on their phones, get rid of it. It is the number one. It is the number one app used for sending sexual pictures of teens to other teens, because the picture comes up for a certain amount of time, then disappears. It is the greatest way that kids are using to sex today. I'm telling you, it's just not. It's the number one app used for that reason. Colossians chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek things that are above, starting in verse 1, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. I'm going to end this sermon, but I'll tell you this. If you're without Christ today, you don't have the tools to fight your pornography addiction. If you are not in Christ today, I implore you that you get in Christ today. We're going to have a song here in a second. I'm not going to ask you to come forward if you have a pornography addiction today. Rather, I'm going to ask that you find somebody to talk to. An elder, a preacher, a close friend in Christ. But I'll tell you, if you're not a Christian, even if you're mired in pornography right now, I'm going to encourage. I want you to come forward, and I want you to accept Him today, so we can start using the tools, the right tools, to end this addiction. Also, especially for guys, but also I will encourage this for girls as well. There's a great book out there called Every Man's Battle. It is actually a really good book even for women. You want to know what men struggle with and why they struggle? It's a great book to read. But if you want a copy, I'll get you a copy. Or find it on Amazon. It's you can get it for a penny on there. But I really encourage you. So we're going to sing here a number 605. Number 605, just as I am, God will accept you just as you are. You're mired in pornography. Maybe you have another addiction that you're going through also, and you need help through it. Whether it's eating, which I have had a big problem with that in my past, and it's still come up against today. Even maybe it's gambling, maybe it's something else. But I'll tell you, I want to help you. But if you're not a Christian, I want you to become a Christian today. God will accept you just as you are. Number 605, let's be standing.